power of the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform His Word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans. These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration. You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from His Word. Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion.
Plan now to attend the Word Explosion
beginning September 8th through the 11th
at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com.
Get ready for an explosion of the Word of God. I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you.
The Word Christian Center is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1.
KAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. It might look good, and it may do a whole lot for the eyes, and it might stir a whole lot underneath the skin, but that's a sad thing to base a relationship or a marriage upon. And so many folk have found out that it ain't so, because if you went for something, for one thing, it's happened. And again, that's the difference with falling in love, because you look and you see a brick house today, but you don't look down the road 10 years. When that brick house, become a warehouse. And then you want to go back then. No, you can't do that then, brothers. God just blessed your brick house. So now you got more to enjoy now. But if you don't see it for what it is, you're going to miss it every time. Look at 28 and 20. Look at what the Word says. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now again, this faithful here has to do with a man standing in his responsibilities, being stable and strong in his responsible and accountable mode. Faithful again, having to do with fidelity in business and again in other arenas. So this faithfulness again has to do with knowing his responsibility, accepting his responsibility, carrying out his responsibilities, and being accountable. And God is going to bless him and reward him for honoring, in short, his contract. All right, look at 31, Proverbs, still in Proverbs. Very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 10 through 12. And for the women get to shouting too much, we're going to talk to y'all now. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Listen again at what the Word says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, who can find a faithful man? Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, this woman is a resourceful woman. She is a woman of virtue. She's a woman of fidelity. She is a woman whose price is far above ruby because she is far above the commonality of womanhood. In essence, she is the epitome of what the woman God says is to be, ought to be. And she's not out there a dime a dozen. And so when you find someone this precious and one that is this blessed, you need to know what you have. And so you cherish what you have and understand how a virtuous woman adds to all that a man, whoever he is, will ever be or become, because in fact, she then is that helpmeet. She is then that woman that completes the man, because listen, a man cannot be complete without part of his rib being in place, and that woman is that other rib that God made Eve out of, and that right woman fits in and completes him and makes him all that he is to be in God. Now understand this, this is in a marital relationship, and this is in the context of understanding what God hath joined together, no man puts asunder. Now again, when you see what this woman is, and we just chose a few of these verses to spotlight and highlight all that this woman is, that says again the high standards that she operates in. Her husband's heart doth safely trust. He don't have to worry about her. Because of who she is. And you know, and again, and I pointed out earlier today, I mean, when you understand and know that you have a virtuous woman, you ain't worried about no other man. I don't care if Denzel Washington came and some of these other fellas that you women just ooh and coo all over, a virtuous woman, she'd say, I mean, if he tried to make a play at her, he'd say, now, you know, maybe things would have been different had you caught me before I met my husband. But now that I met my husband, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm sorry, Denzel. I'm sorry, so-and-so. And that brother don't have to, look, he ain't got no worries because he knows she won't do the wrong thing. You know, some brothers who don't have a virtuous woman or don't know the worth of one don't understand, and they're trying to tell you, man, how you can let your wife do such and such? I wouldn't let my wife go such and such. All the men around there, you know, and they talk about, and then they try and dress it up talking about, well, you know, it ain't that I don't trust my wife. I don't trust the men. Well, if you trusted your wife, you'll know that the men can't do nothing that your wife ain't gonna let them do. But when you know you have a virtuous woman, that's your least worry about any of that and anything else representing you, because she's gonna represent you at the highest level of faithfulness and integrity. She's not gonna do anything that would make you ashamed. Notice what the word goes on to say. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Because of her makeup and who she is, it isn't that she don't have reason to act a fool like he acts a fool. It isn't that she's not going to, I mean, take advantage of an opportunity because an opportunity has come. It's because she recognizes who she is, and she doesn't even give way to anything like that. Her purpose is to do good to him all of her days. She truly has his best good at heart. That's a virtuous woman. He don't have to worry about her messing over the money. He don't have to worry about her doing all these foolish things. He don't, y'all getting quiet, sisters. He don't have to worry. I mean, he knows his heart safely trusted she's gonna do the right thing. Now, do you know what kind of consolation that is when he knows he's got somebody that's got his back, that walks in that kind of faithfulness and that kind of integrity? I mean, he ought to thank God every day he wakes up after he get through thanking him for Jesus, and I want to thank you for my wife. Lord, I want to thank you for this wonderful woman who's all of this to me. All right? Now, I want you to see something else. Because again, when there is infidelity, it is usually because folk are unfocused. And then after they are unfocused, it is because they, again, it leads to unfulfillment, so they are unfulfilled. And then thirdly, they become unfaithful. The only reason why you are faithful is because you're fulfilled. The only reason why you're fulfilled is because you're focused. Now again, if it's a marital relationship, especially where it is where God is a part of that, then you recognize when we get into the next slides how important it is for you to understand that your role in all of these things are to be committed not only to your mate, but to God. So if you take the first two letters off of infidelity, unfocused, unfulfilled, and unfaithful, what you should have in your relationship is fidelity. And you should be focused, and you should be fulfilled, and you should be faithful. Why? Because the reality is, when you know who you are, whose you are, your role, you know your responsibility, and you also know your rewards for being faithful in that same covenant contract. Now listen again, we're going to go back to the scripture that we used earlier, Amos 3:3, in harmonious relationship, in contract, in covenant together, then we also understand that there are rules that we must obey. There are limits to our relationship, and we must obey the confines of the contract. But when you look at it as a covenant relationship with God, noting that the word says what God hath joined together, if he joined it together, he's not just putting them two together without him at the top or the head of it. So he's a part of that covenant relationship. He's a part of that covenant marriage. And so when we understand that, we realize that just as much as I'm committed to my mate, I'm also committed to my master. And so there are some things, if I get, I mean, just so stirred in my flesh that I want to do something wrong, I got to realize I'm not just hurting my mate, I'm hurting my master. And I got to realize, though she might not see me, he does. She might not understand what I'm going through, he does. And when I understand that it is a triangular relationship as a covenant relationship, then I have to consider God in my situation so much so that I'll be able to not only function but flow in the covenant relationship of that God has given to me. Then I begin to realize that if it's a covenant relationship, then the commitment is important, because I'm not just saying, yeah, I do for today. I'm saying, yeah, I do for a lifetime. And it begins again with understanding all that starts with God, and it from God continues into every other relationships. Romans 12, if you will, and verse 9. Because again, what's important about seeing this and understanding this is that these principles are applicable again in every area of life. Romans 12, verse 9 simply states, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now again, when we look at this word cleave, and we understand that we should embrace this, that it is the root of the reality of all that we hold true and hold dear, then when we understand love being the basis and foundation for our covenant and for our contract, here again, God is saying to us to embrace again with commitment, wholeheartedness, the reality of that. But that doesn't just work in marital relationship, it works with every area of life. When you go back and look at this verse again, let love be without dissimulation, and then it tells you to abhor that which is evil, then that means again you have nothing else to do with but with love but to commit yourself to the things of God and the things that are right before God. Look at Psalm 37, if you will, and 5. Because again, understanding your role in your relationship, you can't not do your part because the other person is not doing his or her part. You know, a whole lot of us try to justify why we do what we do because the other isn't doing what they're supposed to do. But you got to remember again that if you hurt the other person because they've hurt you, then you're still hurting the Lord, who is a part of this relationship, because you have not again upheld your part. One of the things that you've got to understand too, in a covenant relationship, you have the right to go to God when that partner is not acting right for your strength and for your substance and sustenance. You have a right to go to God and say, God, now my mate is acting a plumb ape. Could you ask them to act like a human again? Could you straighten them out and get them right? God will do that because he's a part of that relationship. He can bring conviction, and he can bring them to a place of understanding, and he got more to work with than you'll ever have to work with. That's why you don't think that you're doing it and handling it yourself by using your tricks and your trades and trying to do like the world, and again going on shutdown and trying to act like, well, if you won't do the right thing, I ain't gonna do the right thing neither. Listen at this well, because again, Women in particular try to play that hold back role in marital relationships and try to keep their love and their affection and their intimacy from the man when they feel he's acting a fool and this, that, and the other, and all the rest of this. Listen, the word teaches us again, and we'll look into the scripture and show you, you can't give place to, listen, the devil wants you to act a fool when the fool is acting a fool. Because if you're holding it together and standing on the word and standing your ground, God's going to guard this situation, and God's got him, his love constrained. He might think he's going somewhere, but he's on a leash that God has. Listen, and the more you act up, the leash gets longer and longer. But the more you act right, God tightens that leash up and bring him on back in there, make him or her act right when you do your part and keep God at the front of that and you're focused on that. Look again at 37:5. The word says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You don't do what others do because they're doing it. You've committed your way unto the Lord. Lord, I'm going to honor my contract. I'm going to honor my covenant. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be who you have called me to be. I'm going to do what honors you. I'm committing my way unto you. Listen at this now. The Bible says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. If he's in a covenant relationship with you, my brother and sister, when you put your trust in him, the word says, and he shall bring it to pass. You ain't got to worry about it. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but you know God's going to bring it to pass, because when you honor God's covenant, God's agreement, and this word that God gives to you, God has to honor the same. Amen. God has to honor the same. Don't fight fire with fire. Unless you both want to burn up. You fight fire with water. You try to extinguish this. And listen, there is a great distinguishing ability in the relationship to understand that the fire that destroys is not the same fire that brings about a refinement. See, you got to realize there is a point where when things get heated up, somebody got to have enough sense to shut it up. Because that reaches a point where when we both get to the point where we both get in there and voices are raising and tones are going and then other words start coming in and the syllables move from polysyllabics, multisyllables, down to singular syllable words, and then we start saying some stuff. Wait a minute here. Nah! And then, you know, you can get to, how many of you know you can get to a point that's called no return? How many of you know, let me just take a poll to help somebody understand it. How many of you know there is a place and a point where people have limits? Well, the Bible says live in peace with all men as much as in you what? Is. Live at peace with all men as much as in you is, which means that there is a level, there is a limit. There is a place where I've got to know where the line is, because at that point, it ain't Jesus no more. It's all John. Jesus steps out of John, because I said, Jesus, can you step out the room for a moment? And he's like, no, John, no, Jesus, no, no, Jesus, John, Jesus, John, Jesus, John. And for you know it, and then I'm going to come, oh, Jesus. and I'm just keeping it real with you. I'm keeping it real with you. You have a commitment to God. Know your point. If you cut it off where it gets to that limit, and you know, listen, all right, I'm going to just put this in the hands of the Lord, because at this point, you know, ain't no rational thinking going on here. Ain't no rational speaking going on here. It's just gotten a little too hot. Somebody with a little sense, calm it down. Cool it down, put the air conditioner on, fan them. Because the next thing is, sleep on the sofa. Sleep on the sofa. Go in the other room, grab the pillow and then you go in the other room. Okay, well go on in the other room then. Matter of fact, you stay on in the other room then. Level head might be okay, give them 30 minutes, they go in another room. You know it's gonna be a mess if you say, come on back in another room, you get your pillow, whatever, you going up another room. Get on bed. What you doing up in here? This is my house. This is my bed. This is my pillows. This is my covers. And you is my wife. Now that's a man who's the man of his house. Now you got to give some time for the rest of that stuff, but you got to understand your place and your, and don't give devil no place. Because then when you, well, you know what, I'm going to give me some fresh air. Devil jump right on in there. Let's go. Where you won't go? Where you won't go? I'm going to my mama house. After commitment comes contentment, because there is a grave difference between commitment, I mean between contentment and satisfaction. And I just got through sharing with you 27 and 20 of Proverbs says hell and destruction are never full, but the eyes of a man are never satisfied. So it must be something beyond satisfaction that we must have, and it is contentment. Contentment is the ironclad assurance of knowing who you are, whose you are, what you have, and what is promised to you, and you're saying, Lord, that's good enough for me. Now, listen at this, because when you know what you have, you are not swayed and you are not pulled by what you see. You then look beyond the surface and underneath the skin, because you begin to realize that it's not just about the flesh and it's not just about the eyes, because those are not things to base a meaningful, loving, God-fearing relationship upon. Because if you go by looks only, trust you me, I don't care how good he looks or she looks, there's always gonna be somebody who looks better. Don't care how figure eight fine she is, there's gonna be somebody that's a little finer. I don't care how smart or intelligent this person is, there's going to always be somebody else. So you will never be satisfied if you think you're going to find the perfect person. The only way you can be content is if you find the perfect person for you. There is a difference between a perfect person and a perfect person for you, because God always joins you together with a perfect person for you. And though they may not be a perfect person in themselves, with their faults and their frailties and their fractures and all the rest of the imperfections of them that God knows are there, he says this person will bring out of you or develop in you or define or refine you the way that I have designed them to. And so when God joins together someone, you need to know that that person is the perfect person for them, and you need to know that so that you can be content underneath the skin. Amen. And I've said this again, because so many times it blows the mind of shallow folk when they see one person who may look good and the other who's not so good, what would be the politically correct way to say it? Whose good look challenged. You know, one of them faces only a mother could love. And she's blind in one eye and have trouble seeing out the other. But that person is the most, listen, caring, sensitive, loving, nurturing, responsible, committed person that that person has ever been with. And she said, yeah, well, you know, I've had some good looking men, but they were nothing but, ooh, sisters, now. You know, and so I'd rather have a man no other woman wants and know that he's faithful and committed to me than to have one of these, you know, whatever fine brothers or whatever who just treats me like a dog. And so again, it goes beyond the skin and all of the rest of this. And contentment is, again, knowing that you have what God has for you. And so even when you are looking, not lusting, Say, I remember when. You know. Baby, you remember, oh, I'm sorry. but you know you wouldn't trade her for 10 of them. Not 10 of them. Put together, amen. And you can say, baby, you know, I could have just married the best looking thing on this side of glory. But just because she was that physically and facially, she could not even compare to the beauty that you are. And you're more beautiful than she could ever be because God made you for me. And I'm content with that. And see, when you know that, underneath the skin, let me go on to you a little scripture here. Philippians 4 and 11. Paul picks up a principle that should be applicable again in every area of life. And look at what he says. Verse 11 of Philippians 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment is a learned behavior. Listen at this. It is when you know, and you got to know this for yourself in order to be content, what God has for you is for you. You've got to be content with the knowledge that I prayed and this is the answer to my prayer. And that contentment only comes from knowing you're in the will of God. You see, you can never be content if you still feel like you're still looking for what's yours. You can be in marriage still looking for yours. I just went on and got married because, you know, everybody getting married, but I'm still looking for. I'm married to somebody else's wife right now, but I'm looking for mine. And you do realize when you ain't married to your wife, you married to somebody else's wife. That might be why you having the troubles you have, and you might be married to somebody else's man. That might not be your man. Whoever God is and whoever God is in your life, God will give you what is best for you. And listen, God is never going to give you anything that's going to tear you down and turn you out and make you what not God has called you. If anything, it's going to refine you and cause you to be enhanced to become all that God wants you to be. He's not going to make it one-sided. I tell folks, how can this be mutual when you ain't coming to the table with nothing? It's like both our names on the checking account, but ain't but one person making deposits. I thought y'all would get a little quiet on that point there. Now understand. This in terms of
come on, everybody, make some noise. Come on, let's make hell mad tonight. Wanna tell you of a story in the Bible days. There were three boys who loved the Lord and would not stray. There was the king who had a God that was made by man's hands. He said, when the music's played, I want you to bow down to it. When the music's played,
I wanna be steady.
When the music's played, there were three that would not bow. He said, is there one to defy my God? Bring them to me now. He said, you three, bow down right now. You three, or you'll be burned this hour when the music plays. Of the story, the three wouldn't bow. The king said, throw them in the fire, they'll be burned this hour. But what happened next, you know, it must have been the Lord, because the king had threw it three. But hey, wait, That's for when the music.